Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the August NJEDA Special Board Meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Attendees on Microsoft Teams should remain muted until it is their turn to speak. Please be advised, today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending by Teams will be acknowledged to speak first, then by phone. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press star, then one on your telephone keypad to be placed into a queue to provide comment. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star, then two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you require assistance during the call, please press star, then zero. I will now turn the conference over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Mary, could you read the notice of public meeting, please?
Happily. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to the Star Ledger, the Bergen Record, and the Trentonian at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State.
Thank you, Mary. Manira, could you call the roll, please?
Yes. Chairman Terry O'Toole?
Present.
Vice Chair Charles Sarlo?
Here.
Phil Elagia?
Here.
Aisha Glover?
Present.
Fred Dumont?
Here.
Jewel Antoine Johnson?
Here.
Robert Shimko?
Here.
Jamira Sermons from the Executive Branch?
Here.
Labor Commissioner Robert Angelo?
Here.
Manuel Polino for Banking Commissioner Justin Zimmerman?
Present.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Manira. We have two sets of minutes before us for approval today. First, the minutes from the July 23rd NJEDA board meeting for review and approval. I remind board members to please state your name for the record when making a motion or a second. Could I hear a motion to approve the July 23rd board meeting minutes, please?
Chair Fred Dumont makes the motion.
Thank you, Fred. Second.
Antoine Johnson, second.
Thank you. Thank you, Jewel. Any further discussions? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the meeting minutes are approved. Secondly, we have executive session board meeting minutes from the executive session on July 23rd. I kindly ask someone to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Chair Fred Dumont will make that motion too.
Thank you, Fred. Second.
Robert Shimko.
Thank you, Robert. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. I'm going to give some brief chair remarks, and please excuse me. I've suffered through a little cold this weekend, so my voice is a little weak. But welcome to the NJEDA's August board meeting. It's great to have everybody joining us virtually today. This meeting comes just days after Governor Murphy signed landmark legislation to strengthen New Jersey's manufacturing sector and spur job creation in the state. Last week at Mack Products in Kearney, a leading manufacturer of equipment for the transmission, distribution, and control of electric power, Governor Murphy signed into law the Next New Jersey Manufacturing Program, a $500 million tax credit initiative designed to accelerate growth in the state's manufacturing industry. Through this new program, eligible businesses across manufacturing sectors, including non-retail food and beverage, defense, and life sciences, can qualify for tax credit awards up to 25% on qualified investments with a maximum award, of $150 million per project. In alignment with our mission to advance clean energy, the program reserves $100 million in tax credits during its first 2 years for manufacturers of clean energy products such as solar, geothermal, and green hydrogen technologies. Reflecting Governor Murphy's commitment to building the nation's most diverse and inclusive innovation ecosystem, the program offers additional stackable incentives to companies with New Jersey business certifications, such as minority and women business enterprises, as well as businesses located in opportunity zones and those with collective bargaining or labor harmony agreements. Since the start of the Murphy administration, the state's manufacturing sector has grown by over 6% and added more than 7,000 jobs. Governor Murphy and the legislature have invested heavily in the sector's growth, including through the NJEDA's Manufacturing Voucher Program, or MVP. Now in its third phase, the MVP program has approved over 430 applications and distributed more than $66 million in funding to manufacturers statewide. Through our various products and initiatives, the NJEDA remains committed to strengthening and expanding the state's manufacturing sector. And now let me turn it over to Mary for some CEO remarks.
Thanks, Chairman. I think Tim is going to start us off, and I will join in shortly.
Yeah, good news. I made it. I'll just jump in briefly. We don't always have an August meeting, and I think this, this speaks to, the governor has spoken quite a bit about running through the tape and making the most of the time left in the Murphy administration, and so having an August meeting, I think, is one, small, demonstration of that commitment. Obviously, it's the summer, so things aren't quite at the same breakneck pace in terms of events and, activities like they are in sort of the May, June, or September, October kind of the peak stretches of activity, but still a really, really busy summer. Terry mentioned, the chairman mentioned the really nice event we had last week with the governor around manufacturing. Mary and I and a number of colleagues were there, along with a bipartisan group of legislators who had been responsible for passing that bill to support manufacturing. It's a great example of a new program and not letting any grass grow under that program. The rules will be out for public comment this week, and we hope to have them for the board's consideration at the September board meeting. We also launched one long-awaited and one next phase of an important clean energy program. So the long-awaited one was the launch of CPACE, which stands for Commercial Property Assessed Clean Energy, which is a financing tool to support clean energy deployment, particularly building retrofits and energy retrofits, really a broader toolkit than that, as well as the third phase of the ZIP program, which is electric vehicle, electric truck program, which we expect to see significant continued interest in as we go. We also, I had a really nice event with Michelle and a number of other colleagues up in Jersey City a couple weeks ago with the now permanent president of NJCU, as well as Frontina Luis Delos from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, to kick off, accelerate a entrepreneurship and innovation business hub that that the chamber is running at NJCU right on the Jersey of the Hudson River waterfront, which is a great example of, I think, both a commitment to inclusive innovation, but also just a good testament to the rapid growth of our minority and particularly Hispanic and Black-owned business communities that are growing incredibly fast. A lot of room to grow, lots still to do, but an incredibly important part of our economy. Last thing I'll wrap up on is a couple film-related items. We just made an announcement a couple weeks ago that 21 new communities have gotten themselves designated as film-ready. A number of the members of the board have been active with us in trying to get the word out about that program. Film-ready basically means setting up a standard set of procedures for the municipality to deal with, the influx of filming that we're seeing all throughout the state, and not having it be sort of an ad hoc negotiation, but having sort of a pre-approved plan for, what are you going to charge for, police services you need, for sanitation, for permits, so that it's kind of user-friendly both for the applicants, the film companies, as well as the municipal staff that has to deal with all this stuff, so it's not too crazy. So 21 new communities makes the total 43 that are now film ready, which is sort of a good housekeeping seal of approval from the state that you're ready to go. And put your hand up and said you want to see filming, because we are seeing just a huge continued uptick in filming. Probably the best example, and I hope everyone, I rarely endorse films, and there was certainly parts of this film that probably don't warrant a G rating, but Happy Gilmore 2 was a kind of a landmark moment for Jersey. That was filmed almost entirely in Jersey. It spent more than $150 million in Jersey across 64 days. They spent, you know, a tremendous amount of money all throughout the state, and I thought the movie was pretty good, too. I thought it understood the assignment and gave those of us who were teenagers when the first one came out a lot of fan service and callbacks and all that jazz. But most importantly, they spent a ton of money in New Jersey. And so a really good example of why we care about the film industry, not just because we had, you know, celebrities like Adam Sandler running around the state, but more importantly, because they're spending a ton of money in Jersey. And lastly, on the film note, a number of our colleagues, Michelle and Ty in particular, Elizabeth Parchman from the Film Commission team, were up in Martha's Vineyard a couple weeks ago at the 23rd iteration of the Martha's Vineyard African American Film Festival, which is one of the premier film festivals, period, but particularly within the African American film community, and did a great job representing Jersey and did a great panel, along with a number of our legislators, getting the word out far and wide about, you know, why Jersey is a great place to film and make your movies. And of course, being one of the most diverse states in America is a great place for everybody to find their place in the film industry. So shout out to Ty and Michelle and Elizabeth for doing that. With that, I'm going to hand it to Mary to go through the board dashboard, because we got, even though it's the summer, a lot going on in between meetings, and would welcome her any perspective she has in general, but particularly on the board dash.
Thanks, Tim. Just underscoring all of your comments and what the chair noted as well, I think July is a great example of all the work we've been doing over the summer. In the film world, we had another $9+ million of film tax credits approved and about $48 million+ certified in the Film and Digital Media program. We had 40 approvals in our Angel Tax Credit program. So those investments are still turning at a great pace. And to your point about the governor's historic bill signing with the Next New Jersey Manufacturing Program, our current manufacturing voucher program also saw 9 approvals for over $1 million of investment in the month of July. Our real estate investment, our Aspire program, continues to be busy as well. And with today's agenda, we're bringing another 500+ residential units to the board for consideration. So lots of exciting activity along these themes, and certainly not slowing down for the summer.
Great. All right.
Happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Tim or Mary? Okay, hearing none, we're going to move on to the public comment section of the meeting. Danielle, could you please read the NJEDA public comment policy and process for this board meeting?
Thank you, Chairman. Members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment period will be acknowledged to speak first by Teams and then by phone. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Each person will be acknowledged to speak one at a time in the order of hands raised. Once acknowledged, please unmute yourself to provide your comment. All members of the public must remain muted following the public comment portion of the meeting. A staff member may mute you if you're unable to remain muted. Members of the public attending by phone who are interested in providing comment will be advised to press star then one to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue and provide comment based on the order received. Now I'll share NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available on the NJEDA website. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization affiliation, and the topic on which the remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. A person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure enough time is available for all those who wish to speak, and related documents, printed comments, or materials may be attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comment at this time.
Thank you, Danielle. I'd now like to acknowledge members of the public who wish to provide comment at this time. Any members of the public on Teams with hands raised?
I'm not seeing any, Mr. Chairman. I'm not seeing any hands raised.
Okay. Next, anyone operator on the phone who wishes to make a comment?
Ladies and gentlemen, for members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question by pressing star, then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, you may press star, then one at this time. One moment, please, for our first question. I am showing no one on the audio public comment.
Okay, thank you, operator. We'll now deem the public comment section of the meeting closed. We're going to move on to action items for today, and as we do before every board meeting, we'll give a brief report of the committee meetings that took place between board meetings. The NJEDA Policy Committee met on August 7th and considered two items, which are being presented for action today. The committee reviewed recommendations for approvals and declinations under the Activation, Revitalization, and Transformation Program Phase 2 and the AI Innovation Challenge Administration Grant Program. Staff will present on each of these items as part of today's agenda. So first, under community development, we have the award and declination of applicants for the ART Phase 2 program.
Good morning. Daniel, my camera just went offline. I don't know.
That's okay. We can still hear you.
Okay.
See,
it said that it was deactivated. Okay. There we go. Okay. Good morning, Chairman and members of the board. I'm Barbara Bickert, the Senior Advisor of Arts and Culture in the Community Development Division, and this is a really exciting moment. Investing in the arts and culture sector is incredibly valuable. It's about creating opportunities for an economic ripple effect because the arts bring people out, making our communities more livable, workable, playable, equitable, and respectful. The appropriation that the NJEDA received in fiscal year 23 budget dedicated to art support and placemaking has allowed the NGA to create a program that would help address these important factors. Next slide, please. The second phase of the ART program has focused solely on the public space activation product, a $15 million competitive grant that aimed to support the arts and cultural sector, but specifically experienced nonprofit entities with grants ranging from $100,000 up to $500,000 that can focus on driving foot traffic into the downtowns and main streets of 31 eligible communities that have been most deeply impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. The eligible uses of these grant funds are to support the creation of public space activation initiatives, such as placemaking projects, public art installations, and art space projects. Activities can include, but are not limited to, art exhibitions, performances, festivals, concerts or concert series, film and video screenings, and cultural programming. Funding can also be granted to support operational costs for the applicant to execute their projects. Staff is seeking approval to award 39 awardees a total of $15 million of federal funds to the highest ranked scorers, with the 39th awardee receiving a partial award. To decline the remaining applicants that didn't hit the minimum score of 65 points or that didn't rank high enough with the funding available so that they are ineligible for funding. Staff is seeking delegated authority to move to the next eligible awardee if an awardee withdraws from the program based on this ranking. Staff is also seeking delegated authority to allow awardees to have the chance to modify their sources and uses template prior to executing their grant agreement, given the amount of time that has lapsed between when applications were received and today's pending approval. Next slide, please. These are the 31 eligible communities that are spread across regions of the state, north, central, and south, which was our intention. Next slide, please. Testament to the effectiveness of the outreach and partnership building that we've done over the past 2 years throughout the sector, and in particular with the arts and culture leadership organizations across the state, we received a total of 109 applications for the SCORED program. That's more than triple the number that we expected. Requests for all 109 applications totaled over $41 million. Again, there's only $15 million available for awards. So of the 109 applications received, one applicant withdrew. 21 were declined for non-discretionary reasons because they did not meet eligibility requirements. 13 applications were rejected because they failed to respond to our CURE emails. 74 in total proceeded to scoring. Of those, 14 voluntarily withdrew because they failed to meet the minimum score of 65 points. And today, as I said, we're here to seeking approval for the 39 grant awardees. Next slide, please. This is the list of the 39 applicants. This and the next slide is the total list of the 39 applicants we are recommending for awards. Next slide, please. Also reference in Exhibit A of the memo. The 39th awardee, as I've said, is only able to receive a partial award based on the available funds. And next slide, please. This is a geographic distribution of the total 39 awards. Detailed in Exhibit B of the memo, you'll find the list of 39 applicants with scores that met the minimum requirement of 65 points. But as I said, there is not enough funding available to offer them awards. If for any reason one of the 39 awardees withdraws, we'll move down that list to the next highest scored awardee, ensuring that all funds are allocated. In Exhibit C of the memo, you'll see the final list of 8 applicants who are recommended for decline. Staff reached out to 22 applicants who proceeded to scoring, but who did not meet the minimum requirement of 65 points, and of those, 14 voluntarily withdrew. That concludes my presentation, and I am happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Barbara?
Hi, everyone. This is Jewel Antoine Johnson. I just have one question. This is sounds like a great program. I'm happy to see it come before the board. Given the high demand of a program like this, is there any plans for future funding or expansion?
So if I can jump in on that one, super sure. excited. And thank you so much, Jewel. I know as a small business owner, you recognize how important it is for small businesses across the spectrum, including those that are arts and culture ones, to have resources. Right now, there isn't a third round plan for this just yet, but we can always cross our fingers. But one of the things we have acknowledged is that with the inclusion of arts and culture through the work Barb is doing, is that we have such a wide array of existing programs for small businesses. And we've been doing a ton of outreach when it comes to our small business grants, our loan programs, and our bonds to also ensure that the arts and culture sector also had access to this. But we do realize, and I see Tim jumping on, so I'm going to be quiet in a second, how important this sector is and how much art really is a driver for economic development. So appreciate your question. It validates everything we've done and appreciate it. But I'm going to turn it over to Tim, whose camera just went on.
Thank you, Ty.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think Ty, you said it well. I don't have much to add there. All good. Well, you know, but as with lots of things, you know, we'll do our, we're always fundraising, but we'll do
yeah.
our best. I'm not sure there's
I didn't know whether or not there was something in the pipeline or if this is, you know, obviously we all know where we are politically. So we'll.
Yeah, give them everything. This is a federal program, everything going on at the federal
yeah.
government. I would not cash the check yet for further funding from anything from Washington, put it that way.
Yep.
But we'll do our best.
Any other questions?
Aisha, I just appreciate the
yeah.
map indicating North, Central, and South Jersey, and hopefully that puts a lot of debate at rest. No, in all seriousness, appreciate the distribution of the grants across the state for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, great comments. Any further questions, comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the award and declination as recommended?
Jewel Antoine Johnson, motion.
Thank you. Thank you, Jewel. A second?
Second, Roger.
Thank you, Phil. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
Chairman Charles Sarla, recusal, Hackensack Performing Arts is a client of my firm.
All right, got it noted. Anyone else? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
On economic transformation, the AI Innovation Challenge Administration Grant Program.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, Chairman, board members, executive committee, and staff. My name is Fariha Sheikh, and today I'm here to request approval for one administrator applicant and recommend discretionary declinations for the AI Innovation Challenge Administration Grant Program. Staff is also requesting delegated authority to the CEO to grant the award to the next highest scoring administrator applicant in the event that the approved administrator applicant cannot fulfill the terms of the award or grant, or fails to proceed to execution of the grant agreement for any reason. This initiative is part of Governor Murphy's AI Moonshot and is a competitive grant program to select one administrator who will develop and execute an AI innovation challenge and disperse and manage subgrant awards to winning companies that create AI-based software solutions during the AI challenge. The program is funded via a $4 million appropriation in the fiscal year 2025 state budget, of which $200,000 was deducted as NJEDA's admin fee. The selected administrator will be awarded the remaining funds of $3.8 million via a competitive grant on a milestone basis. Of these funds, the administrator can use up to $456,000 for their admin costs to run the AI challenge, with the remaining funds of $3,344,000 for subgrant awards to AI challenge winners. The program was originally approved by the board in March this year. The application was launched on May 16th with a deadline of June 30th. We received 8 applications for the program. Next slide, please. Based on eligibility reviews and scoring completed by an independent evaluation committee comprised of NJEDA staff, we recommend Plug and Play LLC as the approved awardee for the program due to receiving a score of 92.67, which was the highest score amongst the applicants. Plug and Play LLC is a global innovation platform connecting startups, corporations, and public institutions to accelerate technological advancement and economic impact. Staff recommends the following 4 applicants for declinations due to receiving lower scores than the highest scoring applicant. These are the Cooper Health System, Venture Fuel Inc., Luminary Labs LLC, and Generator Management LLC. The following 3 applicants were deemed incomplete due to insufficient information provided during the cure period. These are Process Consulting LLC, New Jersey Innovation Institute, and Founders Factory Management. Thank you, and I'm ready to take any questions at this time.
I know we talked about
this. Aisha, just a question.
Go ahead, Aisha.
Just a question. I'm assuming Plug and Play is a New Jersey-based company?
So they are registered to do business in New Jersey and have provided a New Jersey tax clearance certificate, which is part of the eligibility check.
Got you. So they're not based here, but they're
they're based in,
to do business in the state.
Yeah, and Asia, they're based in somewhere in Silicon Valley. I forget which town. But they're out in the valley. They are our partners on the NJ Fast accelerator with Stevens and Prudential. They are our partner on the Cooper, Rowan, and many others. MedTech SIC that we just announced in South Jersey a month or so ago, as well as the offshoot in Trenton with Maternal Health. So we know them well, and they're a very good active agent in the Jersey ecosystem at this point.
Gotcha. Okay. Have they considered any physical presence in the state?
We're talking about. I mean, they have. If they were on this call and you asked them that question, they would say that their Stevens presence and their soon to be Cooper presence or Rowan presence are their quote Jersey offices. That's how they think about things. They have one headquarters and they have quote offices around the country that are their affiliates at these centers. They don't have a ton of staff at sort of central command that sort of sits in the office, but it's something we've kicked around with them, but not they don't really do a ton of sort of additional offices.
Gotcha. Thank you.
And Tim and team, I know we talked about this in committee, but I assume we're happy with their performance in our other situations.
Yeah, and welcome Kathleen or Rob or anyone else to join in, but I am.
Just happy to echo that sentiment, Tim. They've been executing very strong for us, both at NJFAST and still early days with the Rowan MedTech Innovation Center. But again, I think this scoring is indicative of the effort they put in to not only proposals, but their execution.
I just have one question with regards to privacy. I know this is relatively new technology and new landscape for everyone, but do we have a way, meaning we, the EDA, have a way to verify that the data sets are used responsibly and comply with whatever privacy security laws that exist? I know that this is still kind of a moving target, but just wondered if we had a way to oversee that.
I'm happy to take that one, Jill, with Kathleen. So you might recall when we set this program up, it is using public state data. So all of the data that is available is only public data, and it's to solve for government issues in the state.
Okay.
So that's part of the challenge. It'll be like hackathons. Folks will come in and see the data sources and then build solutions to make government function better in the state.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Certainly.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the recommendation?
Jewel Antwine. I'll second.
All right. So it's was it Jewel proposing and Aisha seconding?
Sure, that works.
All the way around, but it's all good.
All right. Thank you. Sorry. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the recommendation is approved. Thank you. Next, we're going to move on to the Incentives Committee matters. A brief report on the Incentives Committee meeting. The committee met on August the 4th. And considered two recommendations for approval under the Aspire program, which are being presented for action today. Staff will present on both items as part of today's agenda. First up is Annie on the Aspire Award for 701 Newark Avenue.
Good morning, everyone. Can everyone see me? I was having some issues with my camera earlier.
We see the slide right now. Oh, now
yes, we can see you, Annie. Okay, perfect. Good morning, everyone. We are seeking approval to award $89,960,000 in Aspire tax credits to a mixed income project, a residential project in Jersey City located at 701 Newark Ave in the Journal Square neighborhood. The applicant is proposing the ground-up construction of a 34-story high-rise building with 360 residential units, including 1-3-bedroom units, also studios, and will also include roughly 3,000 square feet of ground floor commercial space. The unit mix includes 270 market rate units and 90 units designated as affordable, making the project a 75 25% split between market and affordable units. It will also include a pedestrian walkway as illustrated in the slides that will offer residents access to nearby supermarkets, healthcare facilities, and will serve as an alternate route to the Journal Square PATH station and surrounding bus stops. The memo also provides further details, including unit sizing and building amenities. Ownership of the applicant is represented by the lead development entity, which wholly owns the applicant, and its ownership is made up of three principals and their respective trusts. The lead development entity, 2632 Jackson LLC, doing business as Lions Group, is a family-owned real estate development, construction and property management firm founded in 1986 and is headquartered in New York. The firm specializes in the acquisition, development, and construction of residential and mixed-use real estate. This is the authority's first time evaluating an Aspire Award application for this developer. Total development costs are roughly $198 million, and to help size the award, we excluded costs that are prohibited by statute and program rules, including land and the developer fee, and this brings the total eligible project cost to $161.6 million. The required developer equity contribution is 20%, which equals to about $39 million. And in this case, the developer is contributing roughly $43.9 million, meeting that minimum requirement. We subject the applicant's request to the program's various award caps. And since the project is located in an eligible incentive track, it's eligible to receive up to 60% of total eligible costs, or $90 million, whichever is less. And that is how we arrived at the previously mentioned award. To help further size the award, we looked at the project's rate of return. In this case, we used the maximum rate of return model provided by JLL, and with the benefit of the Aspire tax credits, the equity IRR is 15.12%, which is at or below the maximum rate for comparable development, multifamily development in Jersey City. Additionally, because the project is receiving low-income housing tax credits, we also used HMFA's deferred fee model to measure the appropriate and reasonable rate of return. The total developer fee is about $24.3 million, with roughly $12.1 deferred, and this conforms to the agency's policy, as the total developer fee is less than 15% of total costs, and then non-deferred fee is less than the cap of 8% of total development costs. And based on these factors, we are recommending an Aspire Board of $89,960,000 for board approval. Happy to open it up for discussions and take any questions.
Any questions?
This is Aisha. I guess I'm just curious on the size of the Aspire Award and the project size and how that compares to other recent Aspire Awards?
The max award for this type of project would be $90 million, but we used an unlevered maximum return rate for this application because the pro forma was showing a negative leverage, which generally is caused by a high cost of debt in comparison to the cash flow. And so the maximum rate of return couldn't be calculated. And so we had to, do a small reduction to get it to align to the maximum rate, which is the 15.12, to make sure that we wouldn't over enrich the project.
Got it. Thank you.
But then, does anyone know in general, relative to the 60% cap, where do we typically come out on these? I think that was your question, Aisha, right?
It was a long, yes, Sherman.
Yeah, more often than not, team help me out here, but more often than not, they max out at the CAS. This is certainly one of the bigger non-transformative, every project's transformative in its own way, but from a capital T, capital P transformative project perspective, this is one of the larger non-transformative ones, and it's a pretty sizable development project, which is exciting.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Robert,
so moved, Angelo.
All right, Robert, I'm going to consider that a motion to approve, and Rob, I'll consider that a second. Is that okay?
Fantastic.
Yes.
All right. Any other questions? Okay, hearing none. Could I hear a motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the award is approved. Thank you, Annie. Renee, on Garden Court in Atlantic City.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are seeking your approval for an award not to exceed $53,386,463 in Aspire tax credits for a project known as Garden Court Apartments, which will entail the rehabilitation of the development. The project site is located at 1425 McKinley Avenue in Atlantic City. The project consists of 177 fully affordable rental units reserved for low and moderate income households. Spanning roughly 106,800 square feet, the community comprises of 22 and 3-story buildings that includes 1 and 2-bedroom apartments and 140 parking spaces for tenants. The board memo further outlines the proposed affordable unit rents and provides additional information on the planned unit and building-wide rehabilitation and upgrades. The project will also meet both HMFA and EDA green building standards. With regard to the ownership, the applicant Garden Court AC LLC is a single-purpose entity owned by Garden Court AC MM LLC, managing member, and GJW October nominee trust member. The co-applicant for this project is Gateway Community Action Partnership. The lead development entity is Wynn Development Company LP, whose track record includes nearly 200 developments in urban and suburban markets in 11 states and the District of Columbia. Wynn operates more than 101,000 apartments across 23 states, including New Jersey and the District of Columbia. Additionally, Wynn Development received an Aspire Award in November of 2024 for a new construction project known as West Deptford Apartments. Legal review and sister agency checks were completed on the applicant, co-applicant, lead development entity, and related entities by the authority, and all entities were cleared. The total development budget is $67,044,209. To help size the award, we exclude costs that are prohibited by statute and program rules. The total eligible project cost is $62,807,604. The developer must contribute at least 10% equity, or in this case, roughly $6.7 million. The equity in this project, when accounting for LIHTC investor proceeds and deferred developer fee, exceeds that number at roughly $24 million. The sources table in the memo, there are other sources of debt that are shown there and public funds in the deal. We subject the applicant's request to the program's various award caps. In this case, the project is eligible to receive up to 85% of total eligible cost, or $120 million, whichever is less. Because the project is receiving low-income housing tax credits, NJHMFA's deferred fee model was used to measure the appropriate and reasonable rate of return. The total developer fee is $6.9 million, with $3.4 developer fee being deferred. This conforms to the agency's policy, as the total developer fee is less than 15% of the total development cost, and the non-deferred fee is less than the cap on the non-deferred fees of 8% of the total development cost. The project is also slated to receive a commitment from HMFA at their August 28th board meeting. Based on the aforementioned factors, we are recommending an Aspire award not to exceed $53,386,463 for board approval. If approved, this project would be completed and with the rehab work within 24 months of the start of construction. This concludes the presentation. Happy to take any questions at this time.
Renee, I think we talked about this at committee, but this is a renovation of an existing piece of property, right? So there'll be residents there during the renovation.
Correct. Yeah.
And I think we did this in, we had another one of these in Morristown, if I'm not mistaken, right? And
we did.
The residents are taken care of and it works.
Correct. We had Manahan Village a couple of years ago, or maybe last year.
Right.
And what they do is for relocation, a lot of times, a lot of these companies will actually hire a consultant, which they did, and they will either move, depending on what has to be done in the building, or in the unit, they will move people sometimes to the community room. They provide vouchers for food sometimes. And if not, if there's more work that needs to be done that may take some time, they'll move them into a vacant unit temporarily.
Thank you.
Sure. You're welcome.
And Mr. Chairman, this is typically this is typically spelled out in a relocation plan.
Okay. Any other questions?
Chair, Fred Dumont makes the motion.
Thank you, Fred. Second?
Angelo.
Sorry, I was muted.
Yeah, it takes time to unmute.
Thank you, Rob. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the application is approved. Thank you, Renee.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to move to the real estate committee section of the meeting. Charles, do you want to give a brief overview of your committee meeting?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. The EDA's Real Estate Committee met on August 7th to review and consider two items that are proceeding to the board for action this month. The actions pertain to a purchase and sale agreement and a redevelopment agreement for the mega parcel at Fort Monmouth reuse areas. And the second matter is a grant and award declaration under the Real Estate Gap Financing Application Funding Program. Please note for the record, with regard to the Real Estate Gap Financing Application Funding Award, I will be recusing myself as one of the awardees is a client of my firm. Staff will now provide presentations on these two items as part of today's agenda. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Charles. First is the Femira Purchase and Sale Agreement. Juan.
Good morning. The members are asked to approve and consent to Netflix, Inc. as the redeveloper under the Purchase and Sale and Redevelopment Agreement to PASAR between the Fort Monmouth Economic Revitalization Authority and Netflix for the purchase of approximately 292 acres, which we refer to as the mega parcel, on the former Fort campus. Price. The members must provide this approval and consent because under FEMIRA's Enabling Act, the authority is named a redeveloper of projects on the former Fort campus, and the amount in the PASAR exceeds the delegated authority for the CEO to provide disapproval and consent. In January 2023, FEMIRA and Netflix entered into the PASAR for the mega parcel to develop a film studio campus that will include approximately 846 million square feet of sound stages, related support buildings, offices, and parking. As detailed in a memo, since 2023, the PSAR has been amended 5 times to accommodate Netflix project needs. The purchase price and contribution of $55 million under the PSAR are allocated as follows: $47 million for the mega parcel, $5 million as a utility contribution, and $3 million for Premier's office relocation. The PSAR provides that Netflix will be confirmed as the designated redeveloper of the mega parcel upon NJADA's approval and consent to the PSAR in accordance with FEMIRA's Enabling Act. And that's the purpose of this memo. If there are any questions.
I'll just add qualitatively or editorially, you don't have favorite projects. But if we were making a list of favorite projects that are most impactful, certainly Netflix would be part of that discussion and occupy a fair bit of the time in that discussion, given the huge impact that they're poised to have, not just in Monmouth County, but all throughout the state. And we talked about Happy Gilmore, too, earlier at the Netflix. That's part of the sort of early fruits of the Netflix investment already.
And what, just give us a, maybe it's a little bit off topic, but where in the Netflix, you know, process is this? So after this, what happens? Are there any other ones, significant events that are going to take place?
They're already doing demolition on the site, and they're waiting to take title subsequent to us. This will go back to the Premier Board for a closing for them to actually take title to the property, and they were given approval already to start demolition on the site. That's what my understanding is.
Yeah, that's plus or minus December for that closing. So on the sprinting to the finish, making sure we get that done while this governor's governor, that's high on the list. Things.
The wrecking balls have made quick work of the parcel since the board saw it at the groundbreaking.
Oh, is that right? That's interesting.
Yeah.
And related to this, we're doing Mary.
Because he has our Mary, feel free to jump in.
That's what I was going to raise. Mary, you want to just give a quick update there?
Oh, sure. So just work continues in earnest at the site, and we're working at the authority side here on our Aspire paperwork with them. So everything is sort of moving at pace, and we're looking to get as much wrapped up by the end of the year as we can.
I think the chair was asked about our staff relocating out of.
Sorry, I didn't hear that question. Yes, so our staff planning is for an October move-in at our new site. We've been going over, Juan and his team have been leading the plans to do some light renovation in the space, get all the right furniture in place, but we should be settled in October well before we need to be out of the Fort Monmouth location.
Great.
Chair Fred Dumont, it's a great project, and I'm happy to make the motion.
Great. Fred, I'll hold that for 1 second. Anyone else, any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, we'll consider Fred's moving the motion. Can we hear a second?
Angelo.
Thanks, Rob. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions?
Aye. Terry, it's Robert Chimp. I have to recuse myself.
I, too, Jewel Antoine Johnson, will be recusing myself. My company will be bidding on the work.
And, Rob, I know they're going to ask the reason for your recusal is related to potential labor involvement.
That's correct.
Okay, anyone else? The motion is approved.
Chair, can you just all in favor say aye, please? I don't think
I wondered if I did that.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we've noted the two recusals. Any other opposition or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Big step. Exciting. All right, next we have Elizabeth on Real Estate Gap Financing Application Funding Awards.
Hi, good morning. It's my pleasure to present this memo, which requests the board members' decision on the applications for the Real Estate Gap Financing Grant Program. This program was created in 2024 by approval of this board. The purpose of this program is to catalyze real estate projects in municipalities that were most impacted by COVID-19. And through that process, there were 25 eligible municipalities that were identified. The program provides up to $5 million in grants per project and is capped at 50% of the total development costs, and it excludes acquisition. A total of $10 million was allocated for this program, plus an additional administrative reserve of $500,000 for EDA. Funding comes from the federal SLFRF, and eligible projects include commercial mixed-use, community, cultural and arts, or manufacturing industrial sites. This is a competitive program, and the application for this opened last fall and closed in January of this year. We received 12 applications by the deadline. Next slide. applicants that were missing required information were provided an opportunity to cure those deficiencies before a final completeness and eligibility review. Following that review, there were three applicants who did not submit the required application documentation during the cure period, and those three were rejected. Two other applicants withdrew their applications, which left us with seven applications that proceeded to scoring, which is what you see before you on this slide. Of those seven, we are recommending five awards, and that will take the full allotment of the $10 million, and they're presented in order from highest score to lowest score. So the first one is the Parkway Eye Care Center. This is for $2,748,485. It is a new mixed-use development with 15 residential units and ground floor commercial space. The next one is Greater Bergen Community Action Incorporated. They are requesting and recommending $1.3 million. This is a substantial rehab of a 24,000 square foot three-story office and retail building. They are located in Garfield. The next one is Institute of Music for Children in Elizabeth for $1.16 million, and this is a substantial improvement to create a high-quality facility for arts education, job creation, and community revitalization. Next up is the 500 Boulevard Urban Renewal LLC in Lakewood for $2 million. This is for construction of a two-story building with a restaurant on the first floor and conference space on the second floor, totaling 15,698 square feet. And the fifth and final recommended award is for 500 High Street Limited LLC in Perth Amboy. This one, they requested $3.8 million. However, because we are oversubscribed for this program, we are recommending a partial award for this one of $2,791,515. And this project will then utilize that remaining funding for the program. We have confirmed with the applicant that they are willing to accept a partial award and can move forward with the project. The project involves both renovation and new construction of 27,860 square feet, including 23 residential units and retail space. We are also recommending two applications for declination, as they did not achieve that minimum score requirement of 65 out of 100. You can see those on the slide here. Those are Unique Landscaping in Lakewood and TLC Childcare in Bridgeton. Lastly, the memo includes a request to revise the language regarding project completion so that it will better align with the federal SLFRF timeline to expend the funds by December 2026. So thank you for your time and attention. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, comments, board members? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Jewel Antoine Johnson.
Thank you, Jewel. Second?
I'll second it, Jamira.
Thank you, Jamira. All those in favor signify by saying aye, aye.
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 Aye. I think we've noted Charles is recusing from this. Any other recusals, abstentions, or any opposition? Okay, hearing none and noting Charles, the recommendations are approved. Tim, board memoranda?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. You have two board memos in your pack that are FYI on delegated authority updates. One is post-closing bond modification approvals, and the other is community development products. Would recommend or encourage next time you have a few minutes to peruse those. They're both worth a read, but won't go through them in detail here, but happy to take any questions on them. Particularly the community development products obviously contains a litany of information about a number of really important programs that are not just high impact, but also high volume. So things like the small business suite of tools and the Main Street program and the child care programs that have significant volume attached to them. So there's lots of good information there. but happy to take any questions. If not, I'll yield the floor back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions for Tim? Any other business before us today? Okay, hearing none, could I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Joel Antoine Johnson.
Thank you, Joel. A second?
Second, Angela.
Thank you, Rob. All those in favor signify by saying aye, aye.
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 All right, thank you, everyone. This, we'll have our next, I think, in-person September meeting in September 10th.
That's
right,
correct.
Not that far away.
Yep.
Do we know where that's going to be yet?
That'll be in Trenton.
Trenton, okay. All right, we'll see everybody
unless it changes. But as of now, that's where we have it.
All right. All right, we'll let people know if it changes. Thank you, everybody, and have a great Labor Day. We'll see you in September.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, bye-bye. Everyone.
This concludes our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Verizon Conferencing Services. You may now disconnect.